This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
To the whole show on this Halloween. Happy Halloween, everybody. Michael, happy Halloween to you, buddy.
Hallow what?
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
On this Halloween day. Seems like it's going to be kind of a nice day, so you can't beat that.
It was cloudy this morning. It blocked the sun, which made me very happy.
Time change tomorrow, is that right? Is that correct?
UNC is going to win, and the Broncos are going to win this weekend.
We'll find out. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that.
Wait.
It is Friday.
That's today.
But it's the end of the show. We build up to the picks, and we're sitting at 23-20 right now, so we're feeling pretty good about our situation.
Picks are on Friday. Is that this segment?
No. Final segment of the show,
final
Mike.
Okay.
Final You've been segment. Here long enough. You should know this. We're halfway done with the college season.
Everybody knows picks are on Friday, but they don't know when on Friday.
No, they know. If you follow the show, you know. If you're a Hall of Famer, if you're a hooligan. You know when the picks are. How about that Thursday night special, though? We got it done last night. The Baltimore Ravens covered it 28-6. Lamar Jackson, coming off the injury, looked pretty good. 4 touchdowns for him. Finding tight ends like crazy. The Dolphins, on the other hand, Mike McDaniel's not out yet, but Chris Greer is out as the Dolphins GM. According to ESPN.com, Mike McDaniel will finish the season as the head coach. So they'll at least go through the season. But what does that mean for his future? I thought maybe, you know, given the game being on a Thursday, it really looked bad last night. Tua looked bad. I don't know. I'm not sure how Tua comes back from that. And Tua lost his luster, if there was one, for me. He's blaming refs. He's talking talking down to the media all the time. Like, none of you guys know plays. None of you guys know how to do this stuff. I just got annoyed of it. And that's just a spiraling. That's what a guy that's spiraling does.
It's what a guy who's had some major concussions does.
Well, I don't know about that. He has had a lot of concussions, though.
I feel sorry for him, and normally, in most situations, I'd be mad at the guy. I'd be like, this guy's an idiot, and he needs to shut up. But the amount of concussions he had within, like, so close to one another,
yeah.
And they were major concussions.
Sure.
I can't be mad at the guy, because my theory, having zero medical knowledge, is it a lot of this has to do with concussions.
Yeah, maybe, you know, and I don't want to get into that study. I don't know what makes a person act a different way. He's certainly spicy with media, and I don't know if that's a concussion thing or if that's just who he is and maybe this frustrated quarterback. But Mike McDaniel, there was a moment in that game, I believe it was in the first half, there was a false start on the offense. They're in scoring range. They're in touchdown range. It's not quite first. It wasn't quite third and goal or whatever, but they ended up not getting the first down. Settled for a field goal, missed that field goal, and I thought, I mean, you see Mike McDaniel just kind of losing it on the sidelines. And it just had me really at that moment going, man, that looks like a coach that has just been through it. And I feel for the guy. Because I like entertaining coaches. I like coaches that are a little bit different than, you know, the norm. But the time for Mike McDaniel as a head coach, I don't know what I would do. I mean, do you let him try to rebuild this thing and start over next season and see? I can't imagine Tua's the guy going forward. I would think that it's going to be an overhaul for the Dolphins. Because now they're going to, I mean, what was that, their 7th loss? It was a must-win game on either side for that. Now with Baltimore winning that game, Michael, there's not just talk of Baltimore, you know, kind of scooting back into a 500 mark. They could still win their division. The AFC North is fairly open, with Pittsburgh leading at 4-3, Baltimore's 3-5. So there's a realistic shot that Baltimore could come back. I know you're going to say I do the fanboy thing with Lamar, but watch him play football and tell me he does not make that ultimate difference when he's on the field.
Oh yeah, I'm not denying that he makes a huge difference. I'm not denying that there is a talent drop off between Lamar Jackson and any backup quarterback he's going to have. Like, the only quarterback I'd say as athletic as him in his heyday would be Michael Vick.
I put Michael Vick
above him.
Yeah, probably at this point. And who knows what Vick's career would have looked like if he wouldn't have went to prison for 2 years. He made a comeback, but could he have been much better even in that comeback range if he never had to have a comeback from the get-go? Probably still be with Atlanta. I mean, he probably still would have been with Atlanta.
Atlanta
to finish his
would
career.
would have been diamond fingers with him. They would not let that man go because
he was
talented.
Yeah,
he was
ridiculous.
Popular.
Lamar is ridiculous too. 204 yards for him, 4 touchdowns. And this game it was 14-6 at the half, and then Baltimore put up 14 quick ones in the third quarter. Derrick Henry got going. 19 carries for 119 yards. That looks like more like what he was doing last season. And then on the other side for Baltimore, they're at least saying that we're going to make some kind of a change. So is this the Dolphins, Mike, saying we believe in Mike McDaniel, we don't believe in the personnel that Chris Greer put out there for Miami? That's what that looks like to me.
To me, I think they're giving him a chance. Maybe they don't fully believe in him, but they think that there is an upside to him, and they want to see the upside. Maybe there's something behind the scenes, Nuggets-esque, that more one-sided, I guess, more toxic.
Maybe
from
that's a good point. You know, when you see those kind of things, you do wonder if there was there's clearly a side there. Now, again, this decision, according to ESPN, was a mutual thing that both the organization and Chris Greer maybe felt like it was time to move on. That's at least what we're being told. Sometimes that's not always the truth, but if they respect the guy, they can make it sound like, hey, we're gonna mutually part ways. In fact, that's what owner Stephen Ross said in a statement this morning. I made the decision along with general manager Chris Greer to mutually part ways. I made the decision along with Chris Greer to mutually part ways. I have incredible respect for Chris and his family, and I want to thank him for his many contributions to the Miami Dolphins over the past 26 years.
Yeah, I just looked it up. He was a scout from 2000 to 2022, assistant director of college. He'd been a scout for years before becoming the GM back in 2016. So he worked his way all the way up. The problem is, how great were the Dolphins? Like, they had talent here and there, but they never had a team.
Yeah, they never really felt like the Dolphins were going to do much of anything. I mean, they had the Ryan Tannehill days. I'm just trying to think, like, when's the last time the Dolphins have been, like, considered, other than this recent run with Mike McDaniel, where there was a brief moment where maybe people are like, maybe the Dolphins are a contender-type team, but that was pretty brief. The year before, I believe, the blowout, the Dolphins-Broncos blowout. It's weird how those two kind of are linking together, because the Broncos have since been pretty good. The Dolphins have been pretty bad. It just goes to show you that there is such thing of just a terrible performance. And that's what we saw with the Broncos and the Dolphins 2 years ago. But the year before that, the Dolphins were certainly kind of in that talk of, could they go do something crazy here? This flashy Mike McDaniel offense, Tua seems to be running it well if he could stay healthy. And then you add Tyreek Hill and Waddle. It's a good recipe there. But yeah, they kept showing a bunch of pictures last night on the video of Dan Marino Dan Marino was there at the game last night. And I just think, man, that is one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, right? Dan Marino never got a Super Bowl. He went to one, but never got one.
And his last playoff game was, I think, a 63-7 blowout where he got benched, I think, in the third quarter. I think he got benched. It was bad. It was bad for the poor man.
Yeah, he was one of the greats, though. And that's where it gets tough. And when we evaluate great quarterbacks, you know, we typically throw those Super Bowls around. Dan Marino's kind of one of those guys that gets the pass. No one's saying he's the best quarterback ever. But when you're talking about great quarterbacks, you do throw Dan Marino, at least in the conversation of the top 10, I believe, of all time. You're not doing a Mount Rushmore with Dan Marino, but he was really good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why you say Tom Brady is better than him, because Tom Brady was really smart. Tom Brady could throw a good ball. But Dan Marino threw a better ball. Dan Marino could just bomb it accurately down the field.
All right, Mike, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFKA. The good? Mr. Thursday Night's back. All right, we're a game under 500. We're 4-5. We had the wonderful lyricizing of Michael yesterday to intro the Thursday Night Special. We'll get back to, you know, regularly scheduled Thursday Night Special next week with Brian Gary. But that was a good fill-in for you. Very impressive.
So basically, what you're saying is the starting quarterback got hurt. The backup came in, won the game for you. Now you're going back to the starting quarterback who was 3-5.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, I'll admit it. I threw a bunch of screen passes.
Yeah.
And that's how we won yesterday.
Okay.
But yeah, feeling good about it.
Faith texted in with a gift. Thank you. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. Thank you for that. We are making that a thing here.
It's in the last segment.
On the whole show, it's in the last segment. Good job, Mike. You're finally figuring it out. Congratulations.
Who are you?
I am your friend. That's all I can say. The bad for me is what's going on with Miami. It's not that I care about what's happening with the Dolphins, but it's always just bad when you see an organization that just 2 years ago was like, are they moving up? Are they on the up and up? Are they going? And I kind of like Mike McDaniel, kind of. I don't know if I had to hear his stuff all the time if I would feel the same way, but Miami certainly in a downward spiraling situation as they moved on from their GM, or mutually agreed to move on from Chris Greer, who'd been there for a very long time. The ugly for me, Michael, we just got this story, or just got this a moment ago, but the Jacksonville Jaguars are putting Travis Hunter on IR after a practice injury. He'll be placed on injured reserve after suffering a non-contact right knee injury during Thursday's practice, but the team is still trying to determine the extent of the injury. He'll miss at least 4 games, but it could be more, depending on what the tests reveal. So that's a bummer for Travis Hunter.
That's a bummer for the league. Like
It is. He's one of those guys that you would love to see become kind of a one of the skill player faces of the NFL.
I mean, I hate Bo Jackson because he was a Raider, but you have to respect the talent of the man. Same thing with Prime. I didn't like him as a player because he didn't play for the Broncos.
Okay.
You got to respect him. It's
I
the
don't
same
need to hear
this.
All the players that you hate because they didn't play for the Broncos.
Well, it's the same here. You respect the man because of so much talent, and you don't want to see this happen to a guy like this.
Travis Hunter will miss at least 4 games at this stage. The earliest Hunter could return would be the Week 13 game at Tennessee at the Tennessee Titans. Coming up at the bottom of this hour, we got Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight, going to join us. Big test for Denver as they go up against Houston this week. A lot of interesting notes on the Houston Texans. If there is a duo pass rush that could be considered close to what Benito and Cooper are doing, it might be this group with Houston. With Anderson and Hunter, Will Anderson, Daniel Hunter, those two guys are legit. So the Broncos offensive line will have their hands full. Garrett Bowles, Mike McGlinchey, Palcheski's been a nice story for the Broncos too. But that O-line will have their hands full. Can they keep Bo Nix upright? They've done a pretty decent job of that. And can they continue to build on one of the top rushing attacks in the league? It's hard to believe that, but J.K. Dobbins has been very good for Denver. All right, 20 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break here. It is a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse on Special Edition, Spooky Edition. We'll have the pressure cooker coming up in the final hour, too. Who should be terrified? Which fan base should be terrified as we head into a very interesting weekend in college sports, college football, and professional? We'll get to it. It's a whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the college football weekend with Rocky Mountain College Kickoff. Fridays at 2 and an encore Saturdays at 7. We are Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
I think I like the idea of Halloween more than the actual day. I think I like the build-up. You know, the decorations, the weather's changing, the fall leaves, and then the actual day comes up, and it's like, yeah, we'll see. My kiddo, as you know, if you listen to the show, he's autistic, and we did take him trick-or-treating last year. He's kind of, like, this kid is, like, black and white, man. It's like, okay, I just walk around, and I ask these people for candy, but I have candy at home. So, like, for him, he's like, I don't get it. Like, I dress up and I go get candy. I literally have candy in my room. I have candy in the cupboard. So for him, we may try. We'll see. But for him, it's like he is very much. Tell me again why we're walking around in the cold and I'm dressed up and I'm begging people for free. And I love trick or treating as a kid. But for Gavin, he's like, yeah, I'm good. So it's a different world for us, man.
If he doesn't want any of that candy, feel free to bring it to the office.
Well, he's not going to go put in the work for you to have the candy. And you're way too creepy to go out trick-or-treating at this point, Mike.
I'm way too old.
Well, yeah, that plus the creepy part. And, you know, I say this, too. Being a dad with a kid on the spectrum, there is no age limit. If your kid is, if you have kids, if you listen to the show and you have kids that are on the spectrum and they, like, are in their teens and they want to trick-or-treat. If you have a kid that's not on the spectrum and they're in their teens and they want to trick-or-treat, if they dress up, you got to pay the toll, though. You got to dress up. And if you're not out causing chaos and doing all that silly stuff, I don't care. If you knock on my door, I don't know if we're doing it tonight. I got to check with the missus. But if you knock on my door most years, we're going to give you candy if you have a costume. If you just show up and you're just like, hey, here I am, at least like put on a paper bag, cut holes in it, and just say, I'm paper bag man. That would be fine. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. All right, the Wyoming Cowboys won last week over Colorado State. There was whispers of a guy like Jay Sovell being on the hot seat. You have to imagine, though, with him winning that game the way they did, dominating Colorado State, both offensively and defensively, that seat has cooled down pretty significantly. Because you beat a team that, you know, this year it meant probably a little bit more. Where, hey, CSU thinks they're so much better than us, they're going to go to the Pac-12. They're leaving. Oh man, it would be great in this final year in the Mountain West to bring it back, because they lost it last year. So that was a huge win. That's going to be one of those dubs that really stands out. Now, again, you catch CSU at a really bad time. They just fired their head coach. They made another change at play call. So to be fair, you absolutely needed to win that game. If you would have lost, then it would have been a very scary situation, speaking of Halloween, for Jay Sovell going forward. But they got it done. Now they have San Diego State this weekend. And whew, that's going to be a tough battle. That's going to be a really tough situation for the Cowboys. But did their offense wake up? Did Caden Anderson kind of... sometimes just seeing the ball go through the hoop a little bit can help. And we'll see if that helps Wyoming this weekend against San Diego State. We'll talk more in detail about that coming up with Ethan Bird of KGWN-TV. All things Wyoming at San Diego State coming up at 12:05. But next, let's look at the Broncos-Texans game with our guy, host of Broncos Country Tonight, Benjamin Albright. He'll be on with us in just a moment. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Just 34 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the Hull Show. It is a Football Friday presented by Big City Roadhouse. Switching gears, looking at the Broncos at Texans this weekend. Certainly a big game. You got to feel like if you can pull this off against the Texans, then you have the Raiders on a short week. Could be 8-2 by the time you go up against the Kansas City Chiefs later in November. Joining me now to talk about this matchup, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Benjamin, happy Halloween, my friend.
Happy Halloween. I dressed up specifically for this show because it's radio and they can see me.
If you're actually wearing a costume, what is this costume, Benjamin?
Oh, I just wore my normal clothes and went as the handsomest man alive.
Of course. You know, you are a good-looking dude, Benjamin. I got a chance to do shows with you in person, and yes, I will. I have no problem saying it. Well done.
If you don't mind, I'm going to change shirts really quick.
Okay.
I want to change costumes and be the smartest man alive.
Now, that's pretty good, too. You know, sitting with you for a while. Yeah, I would say you know your stuff. You know your stuff, especially when it comes to the NFL. Hey, let me ask you this real quick, side note. Mike McDaniel, we're reading that it sounds like he is going to finish the season, but we saw what happened with the general manager this morning. Is there any chance he comes back next year?
They make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, he won't be back.
That's it.
The mandate at the beginning of the year. That's been the mandate the entire time. They know what it is, and they know that they've got the opportunity to dig themselves out of a very, very deep hole here. And if they do it, they'll be around, and if they don't, they won't.
Do you what do you look at with Miami? Because it was just, 2 years ago? We're talking about Mike McDaniel and Tua's figuring it out if he could stay healthy. Oh, you had Tyreek Hill, Waddle. What went wrong for the Dolphins? Is it as simple as quarterback just didn't live up to it? You're out of Tyreek Hill. What happened? What went wrong for the Dolphins?
Well, it wasn't just one thing. It was several things. I mean, you had injuries. Obviously, the quarterback position is a part of that. But you had injuries, and they just never got the offensive line fixed. And that's a large part of what they need to do. That scheme is so offensive line dependent. When you have Tyreek Hill take a step back and then not be there, and yet you have an offensive line that can't protect, quarterback gets out. It's just a combination of things. I mean, you know, and the thing was at its best, you had Tua throwing the ball to track star receivers, and he had enough time to get those passes off. Now they don't, and that's quite simply the difference.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. All right, taking a look at this matchup between the Broncos and the Texans. Now, the Texans are 3-4, but Benjamin, it kind of feels like they're starting to figure it out.
Yeah, it kind of does. We saw the offense kind of pop to life a little bit last week. Their defense has been good all year. They are a very, very good defense. I know we like to consider ours the best, but statistically they are. They're very fast. They get after the quarterback, which is four. And they're a good defense. I cannot stress that enough. Going down there, playing an early game in that environment in Houston against a good defense, I don't know. The Houston Texans are a decent football team despite the record, and I have a little trepidation about this one.
Yeah, I mean, the edge rushers obviously for Houston, the secondary, it's going to be a hell of a matchup, certainly. And then for the Broncos going into this matchup on the defensive side for them, Patrick Surtain out, might actually mean an easier day for Riley Moss. I don't know, but how much of a drop do you see with this defense with Surtain out?
Well, there's definitely going to be some impact there, and that is the question. I think the joke I made after Surtain was, you know, we found out he was going to be out was, you know, not that anybody's relieved, but Riley Moss might be.
Might be, yeah.
Since he'll be targeting the other side of the field a little bit. But, you know, as far as that goes, I mean, yeah, it is a step back. Edwards Drain, he's a sure tackler, but the way he plays the position is almost the opposite of the way Surtain plays it. Surtain likes to play in trail technique and then uses athleticism to catch up and make plays. Abrams Drain likes to play off, leave the play in front of him, and then come up and make the tackle. And so, you know, I suspect if the Texans are worth their salt at all, you're going to have a bunch of, quick hitches and things like that in the playbook early, trying to take advantage of the fact that Abrams Drain likes to play a little softer in coverage and give up the stuff in front of him.
Well, I mean, how much more pressure does that put on the pass rush for the Broncos? They've been very good, but it's kind of been that chicken or the egg thing. Excellent secondary, excellent pass rush, but a little added, I would imagine, for guys like Benito and Cooper.
Yeah, you're up against the offensive line to have a day dependent on the front seven, I would say. The offensive line for the Houston Texans is their weakest link, so that's going to be, that's something to keep your eye on. As the front seven of Denver should be able to dominate them. But, they've not been very good all year. So, C.J. Stroud's used to having pressure in his face. But it is going to be big on them. If they want to stay in their usual coverage, which, is a lot of cover one and cover three, if they want to stay in those coverages, they're going to have to have that front five, front seven get home.
Do you see now, we know Denver with the man-to-man style of defense that they play is quite a bit of the game. Do you see this team going into more zone matchups than what we've seen throughout the course of the season?
I don't think so. I don't think they'll switch to zone necessarily. You might see some more like two deep man under type looks.
Yeah.
Where you're running a two shell with the safeties and then, playing man underneath it. But I don't think you're gonna shift away. You're not suddenly gonna become a cover three or a Tampa two team or any of that kind of stuff.
Benjamin, talk to me about Mercedes Lewis. He's like 99 years old, man. He was, what was it, his rookie year, 2006? Wasn't that Sean Payton's rookie head coaching year? I mean, I was a sophomore in college at that point. That was a completely different world when he was a rookie in the NFL.
Yeah, God said let there be light, and he was there to turn on the switch. You look at his career. I mean, he was teammates with Kyle Brady, who was born in 1972. He's going to be teammates with people that were born in 2003.
Weird.
This year, so that's certainly that's like a 30-year span of difference there. He was to put it in perspective. I mean, Mercedes Lewis was playing in the league when Rod Smith was still in the league. Vinny Testaverde, Morton Anderson was still kicking in the league when he entered the league. So, matter of fact, his draft class was the same one D'Amico Ryans was drafted in as a player. So, something to keep your eye on there. I guess a little added flavor to the conversation. But he still got it. He got signed, and I was like, "There's hope for us yet, Nick." Talking to my radio partner Nick Ferguson, we can get out there. We can get a contract, man. If anybody needs, and I'm just putting this out there on your air, Brady. If anybody needs a slow, washed wide receiver that can't catch anymore, I am there for you. So just putting it out there.
There it is.
Yeah, no, he brings something to the table. I mean, he's a good blocker. And the Broncos have liked, that six offensive line look has been kind of vogue in the league this year. They were running tackle eligible with Alex Palcheski. Now, Palcheski's the left guard,
yeah.
So they don't really run that with him. But you could see Mercedes Lewis out in that situation. Maybe he's catching that ball Garrett Bowles couldn't quite get to, a couple weeks ago. So, there's a little bit of value there. I think he gives them a solid, reliable inline blocker, which is not necessarily something they had outside of Troutman. So I think there's value there.
Do we see him this weekend, Benjamin?
I would be shocked if he didn't.
Wow. Would it be a shock if he actually catches a pass?
Sean Payton, he likes to do doofy stuff.
Yeah.
There's probably a play in that playbook somewhere. They dial that up. Like I said, put him in the bowls position in that 2-point play or whatever that touchdown play, a second down play they ran 2 weeks ago, and maybe he makes a catch there.
This is we're talking more and more over the years about quarterbacks that are playing into their 40s. It's still somewhat rare, but we're seeing it. Tight end? In his 40s, in 2025, this is This feels like uncharted territory, Benjamin, but I'm guessing, I mean, were there other guys like at that type of position that played into their 40s?
Not really. I mean, if he makes a catch, he'd be the oldest to ever do it at that position. Certainly we've had guys play into their 40s before. You know, Steve DeBerg came back, I think, at 44. Now, he'd been away from the league for a couple of years, but he came back during that season. The Falcons had all his injuries and played a couple of games. We saw Tom Brady, obviously. You know, Jason Peters came close, I think, at tackle there. He was like 40, I think, when he was done. You have to go way back, though. I mean, like George Blanda was playing well into his, you know, well into his 40s, but he was a kicker, punter, and, you know, and quarterback, sometime quarterback. You know, at that point, I just most of those positions, the non-contact positions, the kickers, punters, quarterbacks, if you can still do it, you can make it. It's rare, though, that you get skill position players doing it like Jerry Rice or like Mercedes Lewis here.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. All right, they're 6-2. Big kind of swing game, I feel like, because if you win this thing, man, setting yourself up to potentially, you know, really make a real run at winning this division, and then who knows what else. But why does it, I mean, I feel like the Broncos are a good team. Why does it not feel necessarily like they're 6-2 good?
Well, I mean, you've had some close scrapes that you've gotten by. I mean, putting up 33 in the fourth quarter and needing 33 in the fourth quarter against the New York Giants is kind of an eyebrow raiser in a lot of ways. You barely beat the New York Jets, and they're terrible. You know, you need a fourth quarter comeback against the Eagles. And then the football gods go the other way sometimes. You look at the Colts and Chargers games, you're one play away from winning those. So it's one of those things where you're 6-2, and I'm still not sure if this team's any good. But, you know, we'll see. I think this is definitely the toughest defense they've played to date, and I think you win this one, and I don't think anybody can deny you're a contender. You lose this one, and a lot of those question marks that have been out there remain and will have to be resolved, maybe not against the Raiders, but against the Chiefs, you know, in the coming weeks.
Yeah, big one for sure. The Broncos now, I believe, are a point and a half dog. Where are you going on this one, my friend?
This is just a tough matchup. The early game down in Houston, tough defense. You're missing Surtain. I don't know, man. I'm going the other way on this one. I'm going to say Houston wins a close, tight win, like 20-17.
Yeah.
And then the Broncos get right against the Raiders next week.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, man, I hope you're wrong about that. I hope it's a great game. I mean, it's setting up. It should be a fun game, and hopefully the Broncos can pull it off.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'm wrong. I was wrong last week. I thought Dallas would be able to get that offense going. I was wrong last week. So, of course, I was wrong on a lot of games last week. I made the mistake of picking Cincinnati and picking Atlanta. I looked like an idiot last week. So.
Dude, it happens. You're always going to catch one of those lousy weeks. And unfortunately for you, it just happened to be last weekend.
But, you know, maybe it was the reverse jinx on the Broncos, and so we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it, man. All right, my friend. You trick-or-treating tonight? I know you got Broncos country tonight, but after, you're going to do some late-night trick-or-treating?
You know, I've been told that it's a little weird that a mid-40s adult male with no kids is hanging out looking for candy. I've been told that's not a great look, so I think I'm going to lay off a little this year.
I was just talking about this earlier. You know my story, kind of my kiddo's autistic. For him, like, the idea of trick-or-treating is just ridiculous to him because he's like, I have candy at the house. Why would I dress up and go around in the cold to get candy when we can literally just turn around and I got it right there? For him, it's very black and white. So we're not a big trick-or-treating family.
Well, then you save yourself some wear and tear on your on your shoes there. It's an entirely different world for me when I'm going out there with no kids. People are like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah. Benjamin, appreciate it as always, man. Love your insight on the Broncos, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next Friday.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, man. All right. He's kind of thinking the Texans are going to win this game, Mike. And I know you're throwing up in your mouth a little bit because you think the Broncos are going to win even when they don't play. But
we'll balance.
He's not like way off. This is right down the middle. If you want to look at like the ESPN matchup predictor, it's like 50.3% Broncos, 49.3% Houston, although the line has the Broncos as the dog in this one. It started with the Broncos as -1.5. Maybe the Patrick Surtain news changed that a bit, but no. I mean, Nico Collins sounds like he's going to play. The Texans edge rush at rushers with Anderson and Hunter, those guys are pretty close to Benito and Cooper, you know, right there. I mean, Hunter slowed down a little bit, but Anderson's on a tear, which also means like, for Houston, they don't have to get too crafty with their blitz packages. They don't have to get too creative because they can really rely on that base 4-3 defense to do their damage up front. So this is going to be a dogfight. This is a test for Denver. This might be the real test. And we're like, that's why I asked. And Michael, of course, the next game's always the most important. This feels like the real test for Denver to see kind of where they are. Because Dallas, before that game, I said they were inconsistent. Their offense was very good, but they're beatable. They're also capable of winning games that they shouldn't. This is a team that I feel like got off to a rough start with an interesting schedule, and they're starting to figure it out. Houston's 3-4. They still might very well be in the playoff picture. A win against the Broncos this weekend is huge for them, so they're looking at it that way. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break. I'll wrap up hour number one. Ethan Bird, I believe we're going to have him talk some Wyoming at San Diego State coming up, and then Brian Howell will join us. The Buffs are trying to recover after a terrifying game against Utah a week ago. It's the whole show, powered by Chevron. It's Football Friday, presented by Big City Roadhouse. We'll be right back.
Big City Roadhouse presents Football Friday. A Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado. And you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's a Big City Roadhouse Football Friday. It's a brand new concept by the owners of Big City Burrito in Fort Collins. They're building on that trusted local Big City brand with a fresh twist on a full-service restaurant. Not a bad meal. Have not had a bad meal there yet. Created by their very own James Beard-nominated Chef Don Yamauchi. I think I got that right. Delicious food. We've been able to catch up with the owners and learn more about them. I love their pizza, their steak, their burritos. It's all good. Big City Roadhouse. They're where the old Cables location is. They took over about a month and a half ago or so. But, man, if you guys have not tried Big City Roadhouse, you're missing out. Seriously, they got a full bar with creative cocktails, tavern-style pizza, wings, steak. Big City favorites at Big City Roadhouse. Yes, Michael.
Now I did that that song for you yesterday,
yeah.
And I believe it was inferred that I would get a breakfast burrito.
Yeah, at some point.
When will I be getting that?
At some point.
I would like a date.
The Big City Roadhouse stops serving breakfast burritos in about 5 minutes, so I don't think I'm going to get over there.
Well, I figured not today. But
right.
Like, would it be like say, next Friday?
Yeah, maybe. We'll see how I'm feeling. But I'll get there.
Mm.
Did he say Chris not bring you your lasagna that he promised?
I wasn't sure if that was going to happen.
Yeah. He promised it on the text line, but
he did text that. But I don't know if I've ever met Eastside Chris.
I met him. He's a great guy. He came in.
Broncos fan.
I don't like that you do that all the time.
Well, I'm just wondering.
I think it's annoying.
He could be.
I think listeners think it's annoying. Is he a Broncos fan? Like, we get it. You like the Broncos. You know when Peter Griffin talks about the movies, The Godfather, and he says they insist upon themselves. That's what you do. We get it. You like the Broncos. You don't need to tell us every 5 seconds.
I do like the Broncos.
I get it. Yeah.
I was just wondering.
Everybody in the world that knows you like the Broncos. It's kind of it's a little obsessive. To be quite frank with you,
Eastside Chris and I have something in common. Well, so if he comes in, we can chat about that.
I just don't think. I think if you listen to the show, there's a good chance you're somewhat of a Broncos fan. We talk about the Broncos on this show.
Yeah,
unless you're Dixon and you just hate the Broncos and you want to disagree with me.
Yeah, Dixon's not nice.
But he's a
villain.
Just give the Broncos thing a rest. It's a little creepy. They might have to put what is that? What is it? Separation order. What is that thing? What am I talking about here?
I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
Because I don't have any of those. I do have Broncos credentials.
No, you don't. Not anymore.
I do.
They took
I
those
do.
Away. They were like, dude, the creepy, creepy person is just too Bronco-y for us even. It's just too much. Anyway.
The Walmarts have actually offered me that store.
I don't think so.
A few blocks away, they want me to own that.
They might as well just set it on fire instead of doing that.
I would agree. I wouldn't run it well.
Yeah, you would not. 11:57 the time. Ethan Bird. There we go. Ethan Bird, we think. Coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.